Public Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Says it's the end of time, and the Mississippi River, she's a going dry. The interest is up and the stock market's down, and you're only getting mugged if you go downtown.
Back, folks.
I live back in the woods, you see.
Back in the woods here. Woman and the kids and the dogs and me. we got a woman and we got kids. I don't have any dogs. Here we are coming to you live here from North Dakota through the good offices of the great Republic Broadcasting Network in Round Rock, Texas. Let me play a little of this. I want to give a tip of the hat to Tom there, who was our guest just a moment ago. And I want to play this from that. If I remember all right, June 16th, I think I'm remembering that right, 2015, Donald Trump comes down the escalator. And remember, on June 14th, neither you nor I had any idea this would happen. None of us did. No idea. 24 hours later, your life and mine changed. When Donald Trump, I think I've got that recording here. I think I'm playing the right one. I know it's Donald Trump. But I think this is from the escalator speech. Let me play it. We'll find out together. Here he is. Here he comes.
Our country is in serious trouble. We don't have victories anymore. We used to have victories, but we don't have them. When was the last time anybody saw us beating, let's say, China in a trade deal? They kill us. I beat China all the time. All the time. When did we beat Japan at anything? They send their cars over by the millions. And what do? When was the last time you saw a Chevrolet in Tokyo? It doesn't exist, folks. They beat us all the time. When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity. And now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend, believe me.
Now, listen to that, folks. This is Donald Trump. It sounds like Donald Trump today, doesn't it? This is Donald Trump on June 16th, 2015. He really has none of us have any idea, really. He's going to become our president. You know, we're used to him now as being our president. But remember, he came into a field of 16 other candidates, all of them who had a big head start on him. And he beat their pants because he's a patriot. Listen on.
But they're killing us economically. The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems.
Bingo! There it is. The U.S. has become the dumping ground for everybody else's problems. Nice.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah. This is the escalator speech, folks, because I can only see the two American flags behind our president, behind our president to be there. But he looks up. You can hear the echo in the lobby of Trump Tower. Up the people up above the escalator on the second floor, or whatever floor that is up there. They are cheering and clapping. Small group of supporters, and then a small group of supporters out in front of him, and a whole bunch of press.
It's true. Thank you all very much.
Wait a minute.
You know
what happened there? Okay, that was the whole thing. America has become the dumping ground for everybody else's problems. So that was the clip right there. And maybe I'll play more of it later. I'm really enjoying that, hearing It's like looking backwards in a time machine. The next clip that I started to play there. Sorry about that. If you recognize that voice, that was the execrable voice of Jeb Bush, who was the front runner at the time. Remember, Jeb Bush, when Donald Trump announced on June 16th, 2015, Jeb Bush had already amassed $100 million war chest. And he was on his way. Old Jeb baby was charging. Donald Trump just took him apart. Those debates, remember those debates? What did he call Jeb Bush? Low energy? Oh, and all the different nicknames he came up with, and all the great lines and all the great moments. All of it just so epic, so classic, so wonderful. Then that string of primaries where Donald Trump just went from primary to primary, beating the stuffing out of people like Jeb Bush. And it was because Donald Trump was talking directly to us patriots. He wasn't this phony like Jeb Bush, like Marco Rubio. But see, these people like Marco Rubio, they're still in the government. And Donald Trump still must abide. I think that might be the verb. He has to abide. Like Socrates had to endure his wife, Xantippe. Donald Trump must endure Marco Rubio and the others, the other rhinos who are still there. Think of the sympathy you need to have for Donald Trump and for Socrates. I don't know if you heard. I think Xantippe was famous as being an impossible wife for Socrates, the Greek philosopher. And the story is that Socrates thanked Xantippe and said, because of you, I have become a philosopher. I have gained wisdom by having to abide your nagging. It has built my character. So Donald Trump is like Socrates in that regard. Let's go to our phone lines again. Dr. Kelly, you're on the air. Come in, Dr. Kelly. Dr. Kelly might not be immediately available there. Shame on me. I spring this on the engineer. I just impulsively give him no warning at all that I'm going to take a call. And these great engineers, and then the phone callers also may not be at the phone here. I make them wait so long. Let's go to another news story here. Here's one. This is more that Donald Trump and we must endure. You know, our great hope before Donald Trump, what was the one great hope that we patriots had? The internet. I think I got that right. That's the way I remember it. The internet was our big hope. We had one window through which the sun shone. The truth, would stream in on us. We thought we'd finally made a crack in the media monopoly. And we didn't build it, actually. The internet just is like Donald Trump. It just dropped on us out of the blue. The internet is not something that we patriots created as an escape hatch or a window from the media monopoly. It just dropped on us. And the way it was designed in such a way, I won't go into that history and so on, why it was designed in such a way that it would be open and free and hard to monopolize. Well, that was then. This is now. Apparently, obviously, the left-wingers have not been sitting idly while we had an internet on which we could speak freely. They've worked their butts off to take the internet away from us, to control it at the top. This is their strategy always. Start at the top, control. Capture the citadels of power. This is the Saul Alinsky strategy. This is the Karl Marx strategy. Capture the citadels of power. Capture the high offices of finance and government, academia, journalism, or the press, rather. They don't, there's no journalism in the press. It's like what they used to say about the Russian newspapers, the Soviet newspapers. Remember back way back when, folks? There were two leading Soviet newspapers, Pravda and Izvestia. And I'm trying to remember now. I'm taxing my few remaining brain cells that still fire. But I think Pravda meant truth in Russian, and Izvestia meant the news. Correct me if I'm wrong. And the really brilliant, famous saying back in the days of Alexander Solzhenitsyn among patriots in the Soviet Union, our brothers and sisters there, they used to say of Pravda and Izvestia, which was the media monopoly of the Soviet Union, which is like the New York Times, Washington Post media monopoly today here. Remember, Pravda means truth and Izvestia means the news. And it may be the other way around. They said, Pravda and Izvestia. There's no Pravda in Izvestia, and there's no Izvestia in Pravda. Let me look it up. See, I want to get that right. Whoever came up with that, you know, was a pretty smart person. Look, I'll look up Pravda and see if that means news or truth. Let me just see here. Pravda. It means truth. So I got it right. Truth. And Izvestia, let me look up Izvestia and see if I got that one right. Because I'm relying on my memory here, folks. And pretty good memory, but let's see here. Izvestia means in Russian, it means what? In Russian, it means information. It means news. It means news. So there's no Izvestia in Pravda and no Pravda in Izvestia. Let's see here. The engineer makes a mention here that's apropos of Tom's commentary about the sad demise of the formerly great state, once great state of Utah, that it is now a sanctuary state. Oh, God, no. A sanctuary state? The Mormons have sunk to this? Oh, my goodness. Dr. Kelly, is Dr. Kelly there?
Yeah, I'm here, Kelso. Thank you so much again for talking about the hot racket and all the important critical facts and pointing out who our friends and enemies are and being a prophet and letting us know about the Trump phenomenon and that there's a real American in the White House.
Oh, and look, and we look forward, Dr. Kelly, you know, we'll all be riveted. I don't know during showtime for our show here, the State of the Union address before the joint session of Congress and the Joint Chiefs of Staff and the full Supreme Court and all the cabinet secretaries. Oh, my goodness. It might be right. It'll be right around our time of our show on Tuesday night. Oh, folks, you want to get a front row seat for this. Get your popcorn ready. Get it salted and buttered because this is going to be, you don't want to miss a second. Donald Trump is probably, I'm guessing, he's going to deliver one of his greatest speeches. Of course, he's quite aware that he's going to have he's going to have Nancy Pelosi right over his left shoulder behind him. I think Vice President Pence will be seated behind his right shoulder. But there will be Nancy right behind him, and he won't, I guess, he won't be able to look at her directly to see what she's doing with her face. But folks, I don't think she's going to be able to control herself. I think as he says various things like, you know, our economy is booming as no president has ever boomed an economy. I can't see her not making a face. She's going to make a face, folks. And then he's going to say, jobs are coming back to America, jobs that had been run out of America but under the Obama administration, which means the Nancy Pelosi, you know, Speaker of the House ship. She's going to make another face and we will build We are building the wall on the border. And then Nancy, at that point, I think she's going to make a really big face. She might even scream. I don't know. What do you think, Dr. Kelly?
I think that we should expect a full head spin and projectile vomiting, so I wouldn't want to be anywhere near her. And I think they need a new land at land or a new thing at Knott's Berry Farm that can be called Nellie Jail Ranch instead of Nellie Gale Ranch down there in Laguna Hills. And yeah, it can be Nellie Orr and Nancy Pelosi, and they can be cellmates.
Yeah, yeah, oh yeah. The so folks, the she'll be right over his left shoulder. I don't think he may refer to something that pertains to Nancy Pelosi. As if he mentions her, he may look back toward her. So that'll be a magical moment there too. Now remember the last State of the Union address from the president. Remember the behavior of the demon rats. Oh God, it was classic. President gave, acclaimed our great troops and their heroism and their bravery and their sacrifice for our people, that all the Republicans leaped to their feet and cheered and clapped appropriately. Unbelievable! The demon rats sat on their butts. Why did they do that? Well, how stupid can you get? Including Nancy Pelosi. They sat on their fat butts and didn't stand up, didn't clap, didn't applaud, didn't even smile.
I think they're all going to be medicated, you know, like the theater shooter in Colorado was under some intense medication when he got up on the stand, and it was as if his mouth was duct taped shut, which would be a really good idea for Nancy Pelosi. And it's like having the devil on your left side and the angel on your right side, you know, the little do it the good thing, you know, and then the Nancy would be like, no, do the wrong thing, do the bad thing.
Well, and we'll take the duct tape off of Nancy Pelosi's mouth, because every word that comes out of her mouth advances the patriot cause, folks, in a big way. I hope she shrieks. I hope she gasps. I hope she lets out all kinds of sounds from her seat there. And she's got her gavel. You know, she's in charge of that chamber. She's the Speaker of the House, and they'll be in the House chamber. And she's got that big, fat gavel that she's so proud of, you know, that power. So, and she'll bang that gavel, you know, and then there's somebody will announce, I think it's whatever, the sergeant-at-arms or whoever will say, the president of the United States, and he'll march down the aisle. But the Democrats on their whole side, they're going to have the whole, it would be the left side of the chamber there. They are, I think they're going to do what they did last year, because Trump derangement syndrome. Why did they not clap? Why did they not stand up at appropriate moments? Because they hate Trump so much. They hate you. They hate patriots so much. And Trump, it's not personal to Trump. Trump simply is your representative. He's your champion as a patriot. Somehow we got a patriot in the White House. They hate you as patriots so much that they will cut off their own noses to spite their own face. They will hurt America. Gladly they will hurt America if it hurts you and if it hurts Trump. They will gladly, you know, have an open border if it hurts you. Of course, it does help them tremendously. They don't want a wall. They don't want any control at the borders at all. They want America to be the trash heap of the world. So anyway, that's coming up Tuesday night. We can look forward to that. That will be spectacular. Then in that vein, let's just think about this for a moment. That's February. What is that Tuesday night? That's February 5th, isn't it? Yes, it is. Then February 15th is the day after the close of the deadline from Trump for working out a deal, so to speak, on the border. So that's another thing we have to look forward to. Stay tuned. We'll get right back to this topic. Good time to call in. We'll be right back.
Circle. There's an ongoing war right here in America. Are you aware that U.S. citizens have been classified as enemies of the state since 1933? Have you recognized that our entire government is really a vast network of interlocking corporations engaged in commerce? Look up Title 28, Section 3002. Tune in to In Defense of Humanity on Saturday nights at 7 p.m. Central Time. Find out what's really going on and learn how to protect yourself and your family as flesh and blood men and women living in a corporate reality.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now, but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing: knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Time there to get this audio for you. We were listening earlier in the show to Donald Trump's announcement on June 16th. And I always invite you folks out there in the audience, check my numbers and facts and get, correct me when I miss something. But I think it was June 16th, 2015, that Donald Trump made his announcement of his campaign. And, it's fun to look back at this. Here I am, I'm looking at him. He looks just like the man he is today. I don't know whether – does he look a little younger? Have these 3 years aged him at all? I'm saying June, to 2016, 17, 18. So it's 3.5 years ago. 3.5 years, even a little more. But boy, he looks great. He looks like he hasn't sunk under the burden of the presidency. But here he is looking just as he looks today. Here he is at the end. I want to play for you the last minute and a half of his announcement. And remember, he's just announcing that I'm running. He has no campaign committee. He has no organization whatsoever. He has no commitments from any politicians. Nobody has endorsed him. He's got nothing other than his mind. There's nothing. But that was enough. The mind of Donald Trump was enough to beat all these other clowns with hundreds of millions of dollars of money, big fat backers like the Koch brothers. Here he is, the last minute and a half of his announcement. Let's enjoy this. 3.5 years ago.
Sadly, the American dream is dead.
Wow.
But if I get elected president, I will bring it back bigger and better and stronger than ever before, and we will make America great again. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thank you.
Oh, there you go. That was less than I thought. Oh, boy, that was quite a close there. Sadly, the American dream is dead. Wow. Let's play just a little bit more of that ending. A little bit before that.
Bridges, our roadways, our airports. You come into LaGuardia Airport, it's like we're in a third world country. You look at the patches and the 40-year-old floor, they throw down asphalt and they throw... You look at these airports, we are like a third world country. And I come in from China, and I come in from Qatar, and I come in from different places. And they have the most incredible airports in the world. You come back to this country, and you have LAX, disaster. You have all of these disastrous airports. We have to rebuild our infrastructure. Save Medicare, Medicaid, and Social Security without cuts. Have to do it. Get rid of the fraud, get rid of the waste and abuse, but save it. People have been paying in for years, and now many of these candidates want to cut it. You save it by making the United States, by making us rich again, by taking back all of the money that's being lost. Renegotiate our foreign trade deals.
By the way, listen to that crowd, folks. At that moment there, one single person is clapping. Now, he had a good little, you know, cluster of people there for a guy just announcing, you know, just impromptu. He had a good little cluster of people around him, but that was one person clapping for saving Medicare, which, by the way, Donald Trump has delivered on. And he's made that point that all of these left-wing Obama-style programs are designed. Nobody else pointed this out before Trump. What is one of the worst effects of Obamacare and such left-wing programs? Is that they suck the money out of Medicare. And when Ocasio, whatever her name is, Alexandria, whenever this person and what's another one? God, these names of these people, Kamala Harris. When these people, what's that name? What's that one from Minneapolis? The Somalian Muslim. What's her name? You know, oh, these weird names. When they say Medicare for all, and now all the, you know, all the other people in the Democrat Party, they're being run by this left-wing vanguard of the Democratic Party. What's the effect on the real Medicare? We'll talk about it in a moment. Stay tuned.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. As most of you know, my regular listeners, I offer energy cleaners for sale at my website. If you don't have a clue what I'm talking about, go to my website, thelibertyman.com, educate yourself about these marvelous healing devices. We focus on pain mitigation and getting a great night's sleep. Arthritis pain, joint pain, back pain, doesn't matter. Keep in mind, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. Energy cleaners, $285, shipping included to American zip codes. You can educate yourself all about the energy cleaner right there at my website, the patent application, the wonderful testimonials. Be sure and check out the factory-made fitted mattress pads to go with the energy cleaner. Now, I offer for me to you personally a 30-day money-back guarantee. That's what I do. I have a toll-free order line, or you can order it right at my website at thelibertyman.com. The toll-free order line is 800-592-9543. I say again, 800-592-9543. Thank you.
Extendivite, made from garlic, cayenne, bilberry, hawthorn, ginkgo biloba, valerian, and milk thistle, feeds our body with the nutrients we need to keep healthy. Just listen to what Arthur had to say.
I was just calling to tell you what a great product you have. I had used this about 10 years ago after I had congestive heart failure. And it fixed me up and got me going for the last 10 years. Lately, I've been having heart trouble again, so I placed another order because this was the only thing that ever worked. I just wanted to let you know that you have a great product. Thank you very much.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Some folks call me a rambling man. I do a lot of thumbing and kicking cans, and it wouldn't do an ounce of good to call my name. 'Cause daddy's name wasn't Willie Woodrow, and I wasn't born and raised in no ghetto, just a white boy.
White boy looking for a place to do my thing. All right, folks. I just was thinking about doing my thang. I don't remember jokes very well, so I keep repeating the same jokes, and I apologize for boring you folks, but I love that joke. What was his name? This time I'm remembering his name, Ricky Skaggs. Some of you fans of country music and bluegrass, especially in mandolin, you know, Ricky Skaggs, brilliant, Nashville bluegrass musician. And, he had a little kid on the stage in one show there at the Grand Ole Opry, and the Ryman Auditorium, the real one. And this little kid, of course, that's the moment for this kid's career. I think he's gone on to be quite a success since then. But this little kid was a fiddle prodigy. So, and Ricky Skaggs, who got such a break himself from hang on just a second. But anyway, Ricky Skaggs said to the young man, he said, well, what's the, I forget the kid's name. He said, would you tell folks out there, what's the difference? The kid was about to play Blue Moon of Kentucky. You know that song, you know, Blue Moon of Kentucky, keep on shining, shine on. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he's about to play that song, and he said, tell the folks out there, what's the difference between a fiddle and a violin? Or a violin and a fiddle? And so the little boy said, oh, that's easy. He said, a violin has strings, and a fiddle has strings. Anyway, so here I am doing my thang, and as Merle Haggard sings it so beautifully, Mr. White Boy, and looking for a place to do my thing. Donald Trump made the point where we left off here about Medicare. Donald Trump is trying to help us do our thing by preserving Medicare. Why? Medicare is a great deal. It's a good deal for older Americans who are what? They're overwhelmingly white. When I was a boy, America was 90% white. So we got old, and here we are, and we're on Medicare. I'm on Medicare, so to speak. I'm 70 years old, so I've been a Medicare enrollee, I guess, for, is it 8 years? Since I was 62, or did I go on when I was 65? I'll tell you why I don't remember, folks, in just a moment. But in any event, Medicare, Donald Trump's trying to protect Medicare because for that America that was great again once, it's a good deal. What are the Medicare for All programs? Those aren't really Medicare for everybody. And I'll tell you why. It's been calculated that if you tried to give Medicare to everybody in America, it would cost $42 trillion. $42 trillion. Our whole economy is $20 trillion. The whole darn shooting match, everything that everybody makes, all put together, every dollar and penny is $20 trillion. So how do you have a program costing $42 trillion? You can't. Can't be done. In other words, it's a pie in the sky. It's a joke. It's a lie. But what the plan is this. If you give free medical care to everybody in the country, how do you get the money to do that? You suck the money out of Medicare. You suck it dry so that this good deal for senior Americans goes away. And that's okay with the third world advocates, because what it means is you're taking the money away from those white people, the old people, and you're transferring it to the young people who are overwhelmingly not white, and most of whom are invaders into the country. That's the deal, folks. That's where the rubber meets the road. That's what politicians can't say. They can't put it that way, bluntly, frankly, truthfully. They have to hop around it, dance around it. And then you've got to figure it out, because they can't say it. But on shows like this, the beauty of a little show like this is I can say it. I can just jump up and say it. They're taking money away from the older white folks and transferring it over to the children of the scores of millions of invading non-whites who've invaded the country. Bingo, bango, bongo, that's all there is to it. And that's why Kamala Harris likes it. And Ocasio-Alexandria, Ortiz, Cortez, whatever her name is, and whatever, Jamala Balala from Minneapolis, and whatever names are. Someday, maybe, I don't know, I'll remember some of the names. Kamala Harris, I got that one down. But that's why they like that program. That's why they want that program. They hate America. They hate the America that Donald Trump wants to make great again. And by the way, I'm just doing an insert this here, just as a little note here, just a note. It may not be possible to make that America great again. It may not be possible. But we have to, and we had to have Donald Trump along the way. Because even if we can't recover fully the great country we grew up in, we are going to survive in some way. We are going to save something. And we had to have Donald Trump along the way to mobilize us, to inspire our cause, to wake us up, to get the army going, get everybody suited up and in position for the fight. maybe not to take our whole country back in all of our different European countries, but however we're, I don't know how we're going to sort it out. I don't know if we're going to end up with a piece of our country, if we're going to have some sort of imaginative new social network whereby we survive in some creative way as a people, but we will survive. Demography is destiny. We are a people. We are we are an evolved subspecies of the human race, represented by a genetic code. And when you get your ancestry.com readout or DNA or 23andMe or whatever, which one you, they are recognizing your genetic reality. That is exactly what you are. Demography, genetics, as Charles Lindbergh said back in the 1930s to his children, genetics is everything. Lindbergh got it right. He said that most, he said, my greatest achievement, Charles Lindbergh, most popular man in America, one of the greatest men we've ever produced. He said, my greatest achievement in my life is not flying the Atlantic, is not this, that, and the other. My greatest achievement is teaching my children that genetics is the importance of genetics is the way he said it. It's my greatest achievement. Anyway, oh my gosh, let us go to that caller in Sweden. Sebastian, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Well,
I just wanted to say first that you were talking about the England and about how the large percentage of white people that are in college and university. And that's one reason for that is the fact that 2 years ago, maybe it was, or maybe three, they hired the tuitions just like they have the same tuitions in America. And before, it was more or less like the continent, like Sweden and Germany and France, that university and college, they don't, you know, it's, everyone can afford it. So I think that's one of the reasons, and maybe another reason, is that they give scholarships to the non-whites instead of the whites. In England, I'm talking about now.
Yes, very interesting. I did not know this. That really rings a bell. And that would keep people out. Put up a cost barrier to the actual Britons.
Exactly. And another one, I wanted to say something else, James, that... I'm a naturalized Swedish citizen since 1975, so I was originally born in the Old Dominion, which is a terrible state now with the abortion and tearing down all the monuments and everything. But that's my background, sort of. I've been in Europe since 69.
Wow. Well, okay, now...
And the time in 75 when I was going to... I wanted to take Swedish citizenship because I wanted to land a government job, which I did. But at the time, you couldn't have dual citizenship. Sweden and America wasn't allowing dual citizen at the time I got my Swedish citizenship.
Well,
so now they have it, I think. But and I was at one time when I was about 20 years ago, I was looking into getting it back, and I went to the embassy, and they gave me a pack of papers the size of a New York telephone catalog. It was like all the tax system, the IRS, and the fact that I was in a position that I had to be paying 30% tax here plus American tax. So I
wow.
just decided to leave the, you know, just let it ride. I have children and grandchildren here, so you know.
Well, Sebastian, congratulations. I'll share my little bit of Swedish story with you. You say that you went to Sweden in 69. I was in Sweden
I was in Sweden in 1970. I came to Europe in 69.
Oh, okay.
I came here in May of 70, I think it was.
Oh, okay. Well, I was a young man just out of high school when I went to Sweden in 66. Just ahead of you. And,
where did you go?
I started in Denmark and then went to Malmo, you know, of course, on the ferry, and then went up you know, went up to Stockholm. And so between Malmo and Stockholm, that's where I traveled in Sweden. And oh my gosh, I'll tell you my story of as a young man, just 17 years old. Well, let's see. No, I just turned 18. Just, you know, I had, you know, Wanderlust, you know, I just, I was a young man. I wanted to, you know, stupid, but I wanted to go to Europe. When I got out of high school in California. So the first place, you know, I'm just sort of like, as I'm really a child at that age, you know, how am I planning my trip? You know, it's kind of spontaneous, but I bought an airplane ticket. I sold my stamp collection to get the money I needed. And bought a Scandinavian airline system, SAS airline ticket to Copenhagen. And I remember this may be similar to your experience. When I got off that plane, and I'm trying to remember how it was pronounced in Denmark. I think it was like Copenhagen. Copenhagen was how you pronounced Copenhagen. I got off that plane and then I got into the town, the old central town of Copenhagen. And walking around, and back in those days, you'll remember this, they had a thing called youth hostels.
Yeah.
And you could stay, as a white guy from America, you could stay in a youth hostel anywhere in Europe for, like, it was like a couple dollars, you know, like $2 or something. It was almost free. And so I traveled around, and then I remember just sitting on a park bench in downtown Copenhagen. And I that was my first European city I'd ever been in. And, of course, all of my bloodlines come from Europe. So it was like my return of my blood, you know, to its homeland in Europe. And I remember sitting there watching the Danish. Well, I guess as a young man, I focused on the Danish girls. I watched them walking by. I thought I had gone off into the clouds and had gone into heaven. The people of Denmark were so beautiful, and the city was so clean and so perfect, and everything was so wonderful, and the pastries in the pastry shops tasted so good, and the parks and the flowers, it was so beautiful. And that experience just continued, Sebastian. I then got on the ferry from Denmark across to Sweden, and I had that same experience in Stockholm. And I'm saying this, Sebastian, because you have learning your story here, you got there shortly after I did. So I remember, I haven't been back since, but that Europe that I experienced in 1965 and 66 and 67, when I was there as a young man, was such a paradise, including Britain was beautiful, France was beautiful, Germany, the Netherlands, Belgium, Luxembourg, Spain. It was all so beautiful. And I'm guessing now you've been there all this time, so you've witnessed, well, describe it, what you've witnessed has happened since then.
Well, I'll tell you what, I had an experience. I was living in the outskirts of Stockholm, and I had a camera. It was like a system camera my brother-in-law had given to me before he went to Europe. And I left it on a park bench in the middle of Stockholm, and I took the subway back to almost where I live, and I said, oh, my God, I forgot the camera. So I went back. And it was still there.
Yeah,
that was in 1970. That was in 1970 in Sweden, in Stockholm. Today, you could barely turn your back and it would be gone.
Well,
I've seen the deterioration of Sweden in the since I've been here. I don't live there anymore. I hate the big cities. I live in the country, and you know, between Gothenburg and Stockholm.
Yeah. Yeah, and
I went to Malmö.
Yes.
Yeah, I've been. I went to Malmö a couple of years ago, and it was terrible. It's you know, these no-go zones, and Malmö's a terrible city. It's like shooting almost. I mean, quite often they just had a couple of shootings this year. Yes, in Malmö.
Yeah, and Malmö.
I think it was 143 gunshot people. No, 43 people were killed by gunshot. Last year, 150 wounded. And this is guns all illegal because it's really hard to get. This is not like police. I think a police shot one person last year, if you want to put that on the statistic. But I mean, it's, you know, it's a lot of you know, after the immigration, there's less violence. It went up.
Yes, and folks, let me tell the folks. Sebastian, let me tell them, pardon me, let me tell the folks, if you haven't been to Europe or you haven't been to Sweden, it looks on the map that we would, you know, Americans usually say Malmo and the Swedes say Malmo. But Malmo, yeah. M-A-L-M-O, is that larger city that you, when you cross over on the ferry from Denmark, that's the city you enter in the southern Sweden. To go on your trip, you're either going to go west to Oslo, to Norway, or go east and north to Stockholm. But that city of Malmö, folks, it's unbelievable. This is the city that's experienced the greatest tidal wave of immigration from the third world and from the Middle East.
And illegal weapons.
Yeah.
Hand grenade costs $50 in Malmö. Can you imagine a hand grenade? You know,
oh, my goodness. Well, now, Sebastian, please stay with us. Don't go, Sebastian. Stay with us. We'll be right back, folks.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to aroutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AirOutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magful clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
We're back, folks, and happy to have a caller from Sweden as our guest. And let me just say this, caller from Sweden, folks in America, you got to realize, and our caller from Sweden, maybe you can have a comment on this idea. I am very conscious when I'm talking with our European cousins about the fact that they don't have a First Amendment in Europe anywhere. They have much less freedom of speech than you do as an American. And it's bad. It's really bad. When you're talking with Europeans, folks, and as a radio host for many years, I've been aware of this. And also when posting on the internet, the things that I can say here as an American, I have so much more freedom to say, to be frank, to be blunt. Europeans don't. If you say something frank or blunt, just something that's true, something that's obviously true. Truth is no defense in Europe, by the way. If you are viewed as disparaging a minority or a protected class, you can go to jail. You can be fined. You can lose your job. You can be expelled from a university in Europe. It's terrible in Europe. I don't know. Do you have a comment on that from Sweden there?
Well, I think you're right, because there was a woman that was fined. I think she went 30 days in jail, and she was like 68 for saying something about immigration.
Yeah,
immigration. Okay. So if you say anything about that, you know, you can. There's a fine, and it could even be a jail sentence.
I think
used some sort of slander to get 30 days, but otherwise it would have been a fine.
Yeah, and folks, when you read the stories of these cases, there are thousands of them. It's not like, you know, there's just one person. You know, it's thousands of them. In Germany, there are many people in jail right now in Germany. I'm just using this as one example. They don't make national headlines. You don't hear about them. Just some person, you know, in some location in Germany who said something that you and I would be considered moderate or tame on this show, said something, like I don't like immigrants coming into this country. It's bad for this country. Well, folks, that can get you in jail in just about any place in Germany. In fact, as far as I know, every place I know of. Except places like Hungary and Poland, where there's more freedom. But it's a terrible situation, and that puts a special burden on us here in America, because we are actually the only nation on earth that has a First Amendment. And the First Amendment, folks, is a sacred thing. It says that Congress shall make no law abridging the freedom of speech. No law. They cannot abridge your freedom of speech, period. Now, this is not true in Europe. In Europe, they claim that they have freedom of speech, but it is always, if you look in this constitution of any...
It's permitted speech.
Well, you know what? It's permitted speech, folks, and that's all we're going to get to say. Thank you so much for calling from so far away. Appreciate it. Hope you call again. And
okay,
folks,
thank you.
Thank you very much. As we close the show, I'll see you again tomorrow night here on the Trump Phenomenon.
Did you know that neither the American Medical Association nor the American Bar Association were established to benefit the American people? Have you recognized that in our country, health care has little to do with health, and that our court system has nothing to do with justice? The priests of both medicine and law have been incentivized to implement a dark agenda on behalf of the Bilderbergers and their ilk. To protect ourselves and our progeny, we need to take a much closer look at how these two giant industries really work. Join me, Al Whitney, on In Defense of Humanity, Saturdays at 7 p.m. Central, as we expose the matrix and learn how not to consent to our own destruction.
This is